Welcome to the INSS podcast. Today we will discuss the growing tensions between Israel and Hezbollah and generally the Iranian axis in Syria and Lebanon, and also the ramifications of the blast in the port of Beirut, which caused a major disaster in Lebanon. We will do that with two of our researchers, Yoram Schweitzer, the head of Terror and Low Intensity Conflict Program, and Orna Mizrahi, a senior researcher. Thank you very much for joining us. So first, we would like to ask about the growing tensions between Israel and Hezbollah and the proxies of Iran in Syria and Lebanon. In this context, of course, what are the reasons for the tensions, and how is it affected by the latest events in Lebanon? First, we would like to ask you, Yoram.
First of all, it's quite clear that the disaster in Lebanon is mitigating and putting down the level of tension that has occurred in recent 2 weeks between Israel and Hezbollah. And we expect, if Hezbollah is not going to take a U-turn, that it will be focused on the Lebanese arena. But let's look at the current tension of the last 2 weeks within a little bit broader context. We need to understand that Israel and Iran has a confrontation, not only on the nuclear issue, but also on the borders of Israel, in Syria and in Lebanon. And Hezbollah, in this respect, it's a central, pivotal player within this context. And also Hezbollah has its own consideration besides being a significant player in the axis. Now, this is an ongoing campaign that Israel is launching in Syria against Iran and Hezbollah. But looking at it from the point of view of Hezbollah, Hezbollah is trying to impose on Israel a new deterrence equation. There is a deterrent equation between Israel, a mutual deterrent equation in between Hezbollah and Israel, Israel and Hezbollah in Lebanon. Although Israel from time to time violates this equation when its interests, like the precision project, is becoming superior to all these tactical issues, but basically it maintains the sovereignty of Hezbollah. From Hezbollah point of view, Hezbollah want to enlarge the deterrent equation to Syria as well. And besides an incident that occurred in 2015, when Israel killed the son of Imad Mournia and the Iranian Revolutionary Guard senior official, that Hezbollah reacted against it in Lebanon, basically until last September 2019, Nasrallah was not exerting its desire and intention to maintain this new enlarging equation of deterrence. Now, what happened then? Israel intercepted a squad of this axis that combined Shia International, Revolutionary Guards, and Hezbollah. They tried to send an attack by gliders, by UAVs towards Israel. And Israel reacted in killing five of them, including two Hezbollah members. At the same day, a few hours before, Israel also attacked, according to foreign reports, because Israel never admitted it, weaponry or machinery that was connected to the precision project. So these two elements made Nasrallah declared in a speech the late of August last year, and then sending a squad or launching rockets against Israeli vehicle in Avivim on 1st of September. By that, he wanted to emphasize that serious about this enlarged deterrence equation. Then there was another operation in April when Israel signaled to a vehicle of Hezbollah people in the Golan that Israel is not going to accept not only the smuggling of sophisticated arms via Syria to Lebanon, but also Israel will not let Hezbollah consolidate an infrastructure on its border on the Golan. So Hezbollah reacted. And then in April, as I mentioned before, there was a signal against this vehicle, and Israel just sent warning by launching rockets at the vehicle without killing its inhabitants. It made a delay between the first attack signaling it and then let them escape and then destroy the vehicle. Nasrallah reacted in order to give a retaliatory posture by making a large, huge holes in the border fence of Israel in order to signal to Israel that it can retaliate within Israel itself, but didn't use lethal methods. Then we come to the last incident in July. In July this year, on the 20th, Israel launched another one of its attacks in Syria in order to prevent smuggling, as it does in this large campaign, and then killed two Hezbollah warriors, among other, and Nasrallah retaliated by launching a squad towards a post, military post in Israeli territory while crossing the border of Israel, by that signaling to Israel that it's intolerable for him to accept Israeli operation in Syria as he promised. So this is where we are. This is the intention, the tension. Hezbollah denied the fact that he sent the squad. Hezbollah was determined to retaliate again. That was his signal. And then came the disaster.
Now let's go to the Israeli side. We'll do it with you, Orna. What are the reasons for the Israeli special arrangements along the border with Lebanon? What are the assessments regarding the possible escalation? And how do you read the minds of the Israeli decision makers in this regard?
Okay, Aaron, if you allow me, I want to go back because I think that if we want to understand the Israeli perspective on this, we have to understand how this balance was of power deterrence was created. It was created by the fact that Hezbollah, since the second Lebanon war in 2006, the border was quiet, but what he was doing is two things. First, to improve its military capabilities and to acquire lots of missiles of all ranges, covering all the home front of Israel. And the second part was that he was hiding these missiles inside the civilian population of Lebanon, and using them as human shields, because he understand that if they are the human shield, Israel will, the IDF will think twice before he's attacking these targets. And this is what was happening, and we arrived to the point that Hezbollah has now, according to Israeli estimation, something like 150,000 missiles of all ranges, and we have to deal with that. Now, since the Syrian war and the presence of the Iranians in Syria, Israel decided they wouldn't allow it to happen also in Syria. And the IDF was had this strategy of the campaign between wars. I suppose everybody knows the strategy. It means that Israel is not launching now a new war because it's not the time for that, and because of the high prices of it for all sides. But Israel will do whatever it needs to do to protect its interests and to protect its security. And it means doing some military action and other action, not just military action, to remove these threats and to reduce them at least. And what are and Israel also drew some red lines. What are the red lines that Israel is drawing? First is Israel is not ready to accept the Iranian presence in Syria, especially the military presence of Iran in Syria. and also of the proxies of Iran, it means Hezbollah, the other Shiite militia in Syria, and not so close to the Israeli border in the Golan Heights. And Israel is doing whatever it needs to do, and it means hundreds and maybe thousands of operations to tackle these intentions of the Iranians and their proxies to come near to the Israeli border and to open a new front with Israel. So Israel will have to deal with two fronts in the, I hope it wouldn't come, but if we'll have a new war in the future. The second thing is the transferring of weapons, and especially accurate missiles, to Hezbollah by Iran. And Israel is doing whatever it's needed to do to stop it. Still managing in a way to control this deterrence equation, and not doing so much in Lebanon, but doing whatever it can do in Syria and other places.
I would like to say one more thing about, I think there is a high potential for miscalculation by both sides while deliberating whether Nasrallah was going to launch an immediate second retaliation, because for him, the first retaliation against the military post was not materialized. Thus, in spite of the warnings of Israel that it will retaliate very fiercely, if Hezbollah reiterates it, not like the first time when Israel shot a non-lethal shots at the squad, Nasrallah was determined and probably was about to send a second squad. To my mind, and there is a debate about it, to my mind, Israel would have retaliated for the second squad in a very harsh way. There are some people within Israel that think that Israel would contain even a second one. I think Nasrallah is miscalculating Israeli resolve to retaliate in spite of its alleged restrained reaction at the first time. And I think this is a source of a misinterpretation that could lead to a larger entanglement between the two sides that may escalate to a total war.
I must add and say, Yaron, that we have to take in consideration that both sides doesn't have any interest in a war in the near future, nor Israel, nor Hezbollah and Iran. And this is one of the main considerations nowadays. And it affects both sides. And if you ask me if I think that something is going to be changed in the Hezbollah strategy because of the disaster, the awful
this
disaster.
This is the next question that I would like to ask you. So now that we understand well the situation along the northern border of Israel with Lebanon and Syria, let's focus on Lebanon. And definitely we'll discuss now the latest events, the disaster in Beirut and its impact not only on the Lebanese state but also on Hezbollah and its calculations regarding Israel, regarding the state of Lebanon. So what do you think? How does the situation in Lebanon affect the behavior of Hezbollah and also the possibility of retaliation against Israel in the near future? We'll start with you, Orna, regarding the domestic issues and maybe also international impact, and we'll follow with Yoram's comment on military and strategic affairs.
So this awful disaster is, of course, worsening the situation in Lebanon, the internal situation. And Lebanon is now in a very bad situation. Lebanon is undergoing a triple crisis. It's the economic crisis, one of the crises that the worst that Lebanon was having since its independence, I think. And then we have the political crisis, the demonstration in the streets, the fact that the government is paralyzed actually because it's Hezbollah's government and they can't do anything to improve and there is no solution in sight. And then we are going to the health care crisis. that is very much connected to what was happening this week, and they really don't have the means to deal with it. They don't have the staff, medication, the equipment to deal with such a big humanitarian crisis. It's really a Lebanon. I must say that Lebanon now is really a failed state. I think that the Minister of Economy was saying a few weeks ago that Lebanon is a failed state, so we have to believe him about that. And Lebanon needs desperately the help of the international community. First for the human crisis and disaster, and then for saving its economy. They're talking about the need for $20 billion as loans from the international community, $10 billion from the IMF, but the negotiation with the IMF are not has failed, and we don't see any solution in the near future.
Yoram.
Yes, I think from Hezbollah perspective, I think its aims are to, in spite of the crisis, the economic deep crisis that Ona elaborated on, the additional blow that it suffered in the last event, which aggravated the situation, Hezbollah's main interest is to maintain untouched his hegemonic political stance in Lebanon, on the one hand. That's something which it wants to maintain in spite of all the storms around him. The second one is to maintain his clandestine, allegedly, as part of the Shiite tradition of Taqiyya, to maintain its own true identity as the one who is pulling the strings in Lebanese government, in order to avoid all the criticism that is being directed towards the government because of the failed situation of the Lebanese country. And he wants to do the same thing at the same time, in spite of the contradiction, alleged contradiction between the two. And the third thing is to refrain and to prevent any thought that external forces, and maybe some internal forces, have to unarm Hezbollah for its unique position as the only armed militia in Lebanon. These are the three main calculations. And then you have the need for Hezbollah to avoid the criticism that is addressed on the health issue, because Hezbollah took the office of health in the Lebanese government because it has a lot of advantages, economic advantages that help, and social advantages, because it helped Hezbollah to take care of his wounded in Syria, from his wounded people from Syria, to be in charge of a very social portfolio and to strengthen his position. Now the health ministry is the one that all the accusation is directed towards him. So Hezbollah is in a very delicate position in all this entangle. Plus, it needs to reserve its flank in the military post, which we talked about before.
So in order to conclude this discussion concisely, I would like to ask you what looms ahead for Lebanon, for Israel, for Hezbollah, based on your assessment of the current events?
Well, I'll start with Hezbollah and say that the situation, because of the explosion, is going to deepen the distress that is in now, and will affect anyway on its status inside Lebanon. And there is opportunity for the international community to do something about that, about the status and the fact that he has its independent army inside Lebanon, and actually the state of Lebanon is a captive of Hezbollah. This is about Hezbollah. If we are looking at what's going will go along the Israeli Lebanese border, I suppose that Hezbollah will be more calculated now. But it's the war, the fight is not over yet, and we are going to have a few other acts in this play of fight between Israel and the struggle between Israel and the Hezbollah, because the ideology is there, the military capabilities are there, and is going to continue with his trial to have more accurate missiles and keep his military abilities independent.
Yoram, will end with your remarks.
Now, I think Hezbollah's main concrete rapid challenge is to push off the accusations that will be sent toward him within Lebanon from the rival forces who wish to take advantage of the situation, and of course to maintain its position still as the one who pulled the strings behind the curtains. And even if there will be a change in the government, Hezbollah is interested in maintaining its position as the one who will call the shots. As for the border to the military one, which is again being pushed a little bit aside but not abandoned by Hezbollah, not neglected, because he looks at Israel as one who wish to take advantage of the situation and to reduce its capabilities. I think Hezbollah will be obliged to pay more attention to the internal arena rather than the military one, and he will play again his delicate game to maintain the equation without provoking Israel towards a very harsh situation. I think he believes that Israel is not interested in a war as he is, and thus he interprets Israel, what seems to be a weaker position, as a sign of weakness. I hope he will not be playing too much on this, to my eyes, delusion about the Israeli policy. Although, again, Israel, as Ona mentioned, is not interested in a war, that's for sure, because Israel also has its own problem.
The first one is that there is an opportunity, military opportunity, for Israel to continue with the campaign between the wars because of the situation, both of Israel and Hezbollah. I don't mean that Israel has to initiate any war. I wouldn't like it to happen, and I think it's not the time for that, but to continue with this campaign. The second one is about Lebanon. I want to finish with some positive issue and say that maybe now, because of this disaster, the international community will try to help Lebanon and find some kind of solution that will bring Lebanon to a new and better place.
So I would like to thank you, Yoram Schweitzer, the head of the Terror and Low Intensity Conflict Program, and Orna Mizrahi, a senior researcher. Thank you for being with us. Goodbye.
Thank you, Yoram.